VanWe Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWe Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWe Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWe.
It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWe Financial Hour live. I'm Steve VanWe.
And I'm Adam VanWe.
And just to prove it, it is the last day of 2016. So if anybody wants to tune into a show that's live, tune in this one, because most of them probably won't be. A lot of them, as you know, are recorded anyway at all times. A lot of them will be reruns today. So if you want to tune into something upbeat, lively, and as it happens, give us a call at 222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. It is a very exciting day to me because it's ended a year that I thought was very exciting. Not always in good ways, but it had a very bad start and a very good finish. And it leaves this country with an optimistic feeling that I think is going to bleed right into next year. And it pretty much showed this week in the market. And that, I'll have Adam tell you about all of that stuff. I got some trivia questions coming up and stuff like that. And I told Adam right before we came on that I really don't have anything terribly targeted today. It's the end of the year. I thought we'd just chat a little bit with each other and with all of you. What did you guys do right and wrong this past year? How many people made resolutions a year ago today that you kept? How many made resolutions that you didn't keep?
Especially those financial-related resolutions, mm-hmm. like saving more money and things like that.
Yeah, I'll start right away saving more money, right?
Yeah.
And then a year goes by, and all of a sudden, it doesn't happen real often. We can help you with that. But no matter what it is you want to say, if you just want to call in, say hi, tell us what a fun year it's been for you or otherwise, I guess, give us a call and we'll chat about what you guys want to talk about rather than what we want to talk about. Aside from that, as I said, I've got a whole bunch of just some things goofy, some things important, just kind of a fun day to me because we're wrapping up what I consider, for the most part, a very fun year. So tell us how it happened.
Well, there's one thing I have to bring up first. You thought that the Dow would hit 20,000 this year.
I was just glossing right over that.
Yeah, and I did not.
I noticed that.
Turns out we don't disagree very often, but when we do, I'm usually right.
I never said it would close over 20,000, but I did say that it would achieve the 20,000 mark. And I think, what were we, 19 and a half points short or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, just shy. I mean, it was close.
Before the downturn took. Every day this week, it tried and tried and tried, and then it would just collapse in the afternoon.
Yeah, just had to bring that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, I know. You just had to prove me wrong.
So the markets did drop slightly this week, but closed out a great, however, unexpected year. Most forecasts were saying that the market should see about a 2-4% increase this year. But what actually happened was a 13.4% year on the Dow, a 9.5% year on the S&P, and a pretty volatile 7.5% year on the NASDAQ. So all in all, not too bad and blew all the forecasts out of the water.
Yeah, including ours.
All in all, I would say that 2016 beat almost all expectations in the markets, and we closed out the fourth quarter on Friday as well, which saw the Dow increase a pretty astounding 7.4%, while the S&P posted a gain of 3.3%, and the NASDAQ a mere 1.3%. The rally in blue chip stocks during the Trump rally has been nothing short of astounding, while tech companies have not fared quite as well. The broader market represented by the S&P 500 ended up somewhere in the middle. And the reason for that can be somewhat attributed to mid-cap stocks. I looked at three ETFs over the last quarter and found that both the Russell Small Cap 2000 ETF, which is IWM, and the Dow Jones ETF, DIA, were both up over 8%. However, when I looked at the mid-cap ETF, SCHM, over the same time period, the gain is less than half of that at 3.75%.
That's unusual.
Well, I don't think that the underperformance in mid-caps has anything to do with anything except for the stellar performance in large and small caps. And I don't think it's really a weakness so much as people are really, really bullish on small caps because of the Trump economic plan, and then really bullish on large caps. And I'm not as convinced on the large cap side, but I do think the small caps are – you've seen a lot of underperformance in them in the last 2 years, so I think that there was some room to catch up there.
Yeah, theoretically, if tax rates for all businesses, great and small, come down the way Trump has suggested, then I think you're absolutely right about small caps.
Yeah, I mean, his plan does seem to favor them. They do most of their sales domestically, and he's really big on bringing back domestic business. So you can kind of follow the logic there and see why.
It's going to be cool to buy American again.
Exactly. So commodities had a better week than they have had lately. USO.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you have so many of them. So, USO is the ETF that tracks the price of oil, and it rose about 2.4% this week. While gold, or GLD, rose 2%, and silver saw about a 0.5% increase in the ETF SLV.
It's up what, 15 for the year, something like that?
No, actually, USO is
up, no, not oil. I'm talking
SLV,
silver.
Yeah. SLV is up 14.5%. Okay. GLD is up just over 8%, and USO ended the year up only 6.5%, but
it got there the hard way.
Yeah, about 50% up from its low in February. So, kind of a unusual year in oil. It was a relatively light week for economic data, but we did see another week of sub 300,000 weekly jobless claims, and we also saw a really solid consumer confidence report, as you kind of alluded to earlier. The forecast was for a reading of 110, and the actual data came in at 113.7, which is the highest reading since 2001. So people are really optimistic going into the new year. The index that tracks Americans' confidence over the next 6 months rose from 94.4 to 105.5, which was the highest number since 2003. So whether or not that will translate into more spending by the consumer next year is to be determined, but things are looking pretty good going into the new year.
70% consumer-driven economy, that's pretty darn good news.
Definitely. So in a change from the housing data we reported last week, which was pretty much all positive, pending home sales dipped by 2.5% this month to the lowest level in nearly a year. The drop was mainly attributed to the rise in interest rates since Trump got elected, which have made borrowing money more expensive than it was earlier in the year. In some better news for housing, the Case-Shiller Housing Price Index increased by 0.6% in October and shows no signs of slowing down yet. The index is up 5.1% from last year. And the southeastern United States showed the most monthly growth in this report, while the Pacific Northwest has increased the most year over year. So Seattle and Portland were the two big ones there.
Okay. We, according to the real estate folks before us, were just named the second best destination city by Forbes, which means real estate here is probably a real bargain for now.
Yeah, I mean, I've always said that if you look at any other coastal city in Florida, we have it really good here in terms of house prices. You look at South Florida and can pretty much double any of the prices you see in Jacksonville.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, trivia question brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. Since it's wrapping up the year, I thought I'd do a wrap-up type trivia question. There were 252 trading days in 2016, and the Dow was up 13.4% during that time, which is over 2,000 points. What percentage of trading days were up days in the market over the past 12 months? So it's somewhere between 1 and 100. I don't know if it's a particularly surprising answer or not. I went searching for it this morning because I didn't know. And I'll let you know when somebody gets the right answer if we were really surprised about it or not. So what percentage of days for this past year in the market were actually up days for the Dow? And when we get back, we got a few other things to do. Adam's going to talk about some resolutions.
Financial resolutions.
Financial resolutions. I'm going to tell you why you're most likely to go broke in retirement. And we'll talk about anything you want to talk about. If you just give us a call, you're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And lines are open, 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. So if you want to talk a little bit about what kind of year it's been, what kind of year you expect it to be, or any of those things, just give us a call. Callers always go right to the head of the line. Now, contrary to some opinion, we do actually have day jobs, and I'm going to let Adam tell you how to get hold of us. If one of your resolutions is to get started or change planners or do some interviewing or just get better at it, he'll tell you how.
Yeah, I would recommend coming to see us, which you can do. We're located in Jacksonville Beach. We're right off of Butler Boulevard, so easy to get to from everywhere in town. If you want to call the office, it's 904-685-1505, or you can find us online and book an appointment right from our website at vanweefinancial.com. We also do some other neat things on our website, including a blog, which we discuss things that we talk about on the radio and then some things that we don't, and we try and update it about twice weekly, so check back often. If you're a Facebook type, you can find us at facebook.com/vanweefinancial, or for those of you on Twitter, it's at vanweefinancial.
All right. Trivia question, again, sponsored by First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. We had a good year in the Dow. In fact, we had an excellent year in the Dow at over 13% gain, which was over 2,000 points. Now, what percentage of trading days were up days in the market to get us there? And then I got some secondary follow-up on that, too. All right, if I were to resolve something financial for the new year, what would it most likely be?
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
But all right.
First, I want to talk a little bit about how I found this. It was on a website called GoBankingRates.com. And they did a survey of, I think, about 3,000 people. And they asked them to rate out of 9 financial New Year's resolutions, which one that they felt the most strongly about or were most likely to make. And the 9 of them were create a budget and stick to it, build an emergency fund, improve my credit score, save more, spend less, increase my income, pay down debt, save more for retirement, have more spending freedom, and lastly, make a large purchase like a home or a car. And so out of those 9, they had to pick the prioritize which one was the highest for them and they were most likely to make a resolution about. So what we found is that the highest rated resolution was to save more and spend less. So as financial planners, this is kind of like music to our ears. That's what pretty much every American could use a little bit of about that.
And because, darn good advice.
Yeah, we are notoriously bad savers. According to bank...
And by we, you mean you all, not you and me, right?
Well, I mean, we could all be better in that
yeah,
arena.
Think.
Yeah.
I mean, let he use without
yeah,
sin.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do okay, but come on. everyone could improve there.
Yep.
So according to Bankrate.com, 66 million Americans have $0 saved. According to Forbes, 69% of all Americans have less than $1,000 saved. On the other side of this, 15% of you have more than $10,000 saved. If you have less than $1,000 saved, please make and keep this New Year's resolution. The second most popular financial New Year's resolution is to pay down debt. This is not quite as important as the first resolution from a financial planning standpoint, but it is still a great goal. The average American household had $15,165 in credit card debt in 2015, according to ValuePenguin.com. So this absolutely should be goal number 2. If you look at all debt, the average American household has $132,500, including mortgages, according to Bloomberg.
Now that sounds much more reasonable to me.
I was actually surprised to the low side there. Yeah. Just getting those credit cards paid off would eliminate over 11% of the total debt. So that is a great place to start when tackling your debt for most people. And they're usually the highest interest rates too. So go ahead and get that done this year. Be sure to accomplish your savings goals first though. Otherwise, an unexpected financial event could end up adding to your total debt and knock your whole plan off track. The third most popular financial New Year's resolution is to increase income. This is a great goal and there are lots of ways to accomplish it. Your options here include finding a new, better-paying job, something that is becoming easier as the economy improves. According to USNews.com, average hourly pay hit $25.79 in September of this year, an increase of 2.6% from 2015. This is a trend that we suspect will continue in 2017, so now may be a great time to go find that new job you've been thinking about. Some other ways to increase your income include getting a second job, increasing your hours at your current job, starting a home-based business, or going back to school and getting a degree that will increase your earning potential. Going back to college after age 25 is a trend that has been on the rise in recent years as well. According to a 2014 article on CNBC.com, students aged 25 and older accounted for about 40% of total college enrollment in 2009.
Wow.
A figure that is expected to increase to 43% of total enrollment by 2020.
Wow. I find that very surprising. I'm happy, though.
I think the trend of online college has made that a lot more attainable for working people.
No, that's what we did, both of us, to get our CFP certifications. We did online. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
So that number translates to 9.6 million Americans that will be going to college outside of the normal college years. So don't think you'll be the only one, and don't let that stop you if you are considering getting a higher degree to further your career. So the last five financial New Year's resolutions were made up of creating a budget and sticking to it, saving more for retirement, improving credit scores, having more spending freedom, building an emergency fund, and making a large purchase such as a home or a car, in that order. All in all, despite Americans' lack of savings discipline, it seems like those that answered the survey knew that the right answers, and they pretty much had their priorities straight. The real question is, how many of them will follow through with their New Year's resolutions? According to StatisticBrain.com, 45% of Americans usually make New Year's resolutions, but only 8% actually achieve their resolutions.
That's why the workout rooms and health spas and all that are so busy in January.
Exactly.
Because you make it, you go, put in some FaceTime, and then drop it like a...
Exactly. But if you need help achieving your financial New Year's resolutions, call us at the office, 904-685-1505.
Makes perfectly good sense. You know what I don't think I heard in there?
What's that?
Anything about taxes.
No. I think that most people feel that that's out of their control. And also, it wasn't one of the survey questions.
Oh, but it's so untrue. It's so completely untrue. There's a lot you can do. There are things you can still do right now and for the rest of today. There are things you can still do up to April 15th. There's all kinds of reasons for optimism. All right. Well, we have a good friend. Captain Dave, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, guys. Hope you're going to have a prosperous and happy 2017.
Thank you, and same to you. So what's going on with you? Are you still in the country here?
Yeah, I'm back. I went down for the holidays, and I'm back now for about a month or so.
Okay.
I was listening to your nine things. I'm doing just the opposite. I'm saving less and spending more.
Well, at least you're an honest man.
Yeah, and you're not alone.
Well, you know, I've reached the age at which I got this money. What am I going to do, die with it?
Well, there's accumulation phase and distribution phase. You seem to have made a wonderful transition.
I'm seriously in the distribution phase.
Yeah.
One question I did want to ask, and I don't know, maybe I'm nuts, but it seems to me that at the end of every month, you know, I have some stocks, the Gabelli, and I have the mid-cap, whatever it is, the Oakmark. Equity income.
Yep.
Why do people sell that? Why does that drop just before the end of the month? It would seem to me if people were chasing dividends, they'd buy.
I don't know that that's actually a supportable thesis that it always drops toward the end of the month.
Well, yeah, and it is anecdotal, but it seems to me like yesterday, Gabelli and Oakmark were down a little bit, you know, 5 cents here, 3 cents there, and it just seems that way to me. Now, again, you know, it's anecdotal, and I don't know that it happens all the time. It just seems like it does. So maybe that.
Have you ever tracked it next to what happened in the S&P 500 or the Dow? Is it just a broad market trend as applied to, or something like that?
Sometimes, yeah, it seems like. Although most of the stuff I have is counter to the market,
right.
I know there's one stock I used to own that I got rid of called OPK, which used to be Prolor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, their trial of this injectable growth hormone, I guess it was, or something like that, didn't outperform the placebo. And so, consequently...
That's why biotech is so risky.
It is. That's one of riskier type investments you can do.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to have to look at that and see. I've studied a lot of market patterns. I wonder if there is a monthly cycle where it drops a little bit.
Well, the big drop at the end of November was their capital gains distribution.
And if you notice, a lot of things paid yesterday. I was checking my Quicken this morning. And what will happen, when this happens, there are going to be people who are caught completely off guard by this. Because what happens is they make their distribution on a Friday. That money gets paid out. Anyone who's reinvesting their dividends and capital gains, that won't show up until Monday. So you can spend all weekend thinking, oh, my God, I had a horrible close to the year.
Or Tuesday in this case.
Yeah, and Tuesday now. Tuesday will come, and all of a sudden all these new shares appear in their accounts, and they're going to say, oh, well, it was actually a pretty good
thing. By the way, you talked about taxes. My tax rate this year was zero.
Well, you're doing something right. Well, you know, if you get off your butt, get a job, and make some money, it would go up.
No, I don't need it. I got cash. You guys have great,
thanks, Dave.
Great New Year. I'll
Happy
talk
New
to
Year.
You.
Thanks so much.
All right, guys.
One of the reasons that people are going to go broke. I'll talk about this after the break. Kiplinger did a thing about 12 reasons you'll go broke in retirement, and some of them are kind of funny. But I do want to talk about this tax thing, too. There are things that can be done. All right, we're going to have to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. The trivia question is still out there. What percentage of market trading days in 2016 were actually up days? And we did have a good year. All right, we'll be right back. You are listening to the Vanley Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back. Van Wee Financial Hour, end of the year show, very special live show on this 31st of December, which actually felt like the 31st of December this morning when I took the dog out, I might add. 39 degrees. I didn't move 1,200 miles for that, I'll tell you that. Anyway, I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have a trivia question sitting out there. Out of the 252 trading days in 2016, what percentage of those were positive for the Dow Jones Industrial Average? Something had to happen that was good because it was up about 2,100 points. All right, public service announcement. Bark for Life, the blending of two of my favorite subjects, the American Cancer Society and dogs. The Bark for Life is an event that it will be held at Dogwood Park on the south side of Jacksonville over in Salisbury Road. It is on January 21st, 2017. I got to get used to saying that now. Yeah, I'll be writing 16 forever. But all right, it's being held in 2017. Anyway, you can sponsor. You can go participate. You can look up what to do at the website, relayforlife.org/BarkSouthsideFL. Or the easy way, you go to Van Wee Financial website, and there is a link there that Adam's put up, and you can go direct. You do not have to participate to donate, and you will get a tax-deductible donation made. You can still do it this year. It's one of the few remaining things that you can do today. If you're feeling at all charitable, you can still get that tax deduction for 2016 by donating money to any qualified charity today. Now, other things you can do that don't have to be done today, look at your taxes when they're being prepared this year. And if you're paying too much and you don't have an IRA, let's get that fixed, folks. The best way in the world to save taxes is also when you save money for yourself. That will help one of these 12 things may cause you to go broke in retirement. You never know. All right, why would you go broke in retirement? Well, according to Kiplinger, the first one is you abandon stocks. And boy, do we see this a lot, don't we?
Yeah, people get real conservative when that retirement date is imminent.
Yes, and what we've always said, it's probably the number one rule of thumb for financial planning. If you don't have 5 years to leave your money in the market, the market risk is way too high. Don't invest that money in stocks. So only if you have 5 years. Now, what happens when people are turning 62, 65, 66, whenever you're going to retire? They fail to look at their own time horizon. You might be like my mom, who made it to almost 87, or my grandmother, who made it 100, or relatives or friends that you have had. You're not going to have a 3, 4, 5 year retirement. If you've made it to that ripe old age like I have, your chances of living a long time are really good nowadays. That means keep some money in the stock market. Just make sure that you're not going to need it over the next 5 years.
I think people tend to look at their retirement as a date. So
exactly.
My date is November 15th of next year, I wish. But no, people look at it as a date, but really it's a time span. So The money that you need after those 5 years, if you take it out of the market now, all you're doing is robbing yourself of potential return. And that money could be worth a lot more when you actually need it 5 to 20 years down the road.
Yes, that is absolutely true. And it's something that conservative oriented people might need their hand held a little bit. You know, there's a good reason why good fee-only financial planners and advisors, there was a reason we exist. And a lot of it is to keep people from doing really stupid things, either out of ignorance or fear. If you could have seen the looks on our faces in private the first 6 weeks of last year, that market was just spiraling down, and the hardest thing in the world was to look our clients in the eye with a smile on our face and say, do the right thing.
Don't worry about
Ride it out.
Yep.
And it gets very difficult. Sometimes it takes two of you to handle that kind of thing. So if you are the kind who's afraid of the stock market, it would be a good idea to maybe call 685-1505 and come in and talk about it. We'd love to talk about your fears. We'd love to talk about your greed. We'd love to talk about anything. It can all work. Good morning and Happy New Year, Marshall.
Good morning, guys. How are the Beach Boys today?
Oh, they're just a little chilly, but other than that, fantastic. What's up with you?
That's right. Well, it's so interesting. As you started talking about the last subject, I was thinking, I need a question for the guys.
Good.
And it hit me. You know, we have these stages that you talk about in life. And let me give you this hypothetical. Let's say you have someone who maybe starts real serious, say, on his side at age 30, retires about 70.
You're cutting up a little bit, Marshall. Can you dial in again or get to a better room?
Is this any better?
Yes, it's much better. Thank you.
Okay. So let's presume age 30 is when they started serious saving for retirement. Age 70 was when they actually said, okay, we're going to start drawing the Social Security. We're officially retiring.
Okay.
And 90, let's just say hypothetically, they lived to 90. In that, those three points in time, where would you say would be the appropriate equities versus bonds split of their investable assets?
My portfolio design expert will respond.
It's an excellent question, and you've probably heard the old rule of thumb where you take your age and subtract it from 100 and all that, but I don't buy that.
Yeah, I don't
it's
either.
Really, really specific to your personal situation. It depends on what other sources of income you have, how your money is saved, if it's in IRAs and you're going to be forced to do RMDs, or if it's in a Roth, or if it's outside of retirement accounts altogether. There's just so many factors that go into that. But in general, I would say that the less money you have and the younger you are in retirement, the more you should think about being conservative, because you absolutely need, you're going to need that money if you don't have a lot, and you don't want it to be, you don't want your portfolio to be down on that day you need it. Now, if you have more money and another source of income, then I would say you can afford to take a lot more risk. So it's not necessarily all age related, although in general, you know, you want to get a little bit more conservative as you get older. I mean, I think that's a good rule of thumb, but I don't buy the
I don't do it by 100. The numbers either. No. Yeah. Well, what if a guy's got a railroad pension, for instance?
Exactly. And that's good for life. So
the lucky people out there, I use that term very specifically. I think they're lucky in that they chose a good field, so maybe you make your own luck through life.
Exactly.
I firmly believe that. But someone who has a wonderful pension that's as sound as it could possibly be, that's why I always mention railroads because they're the best for funding. They've always been good. But people that have that and it's not going anywhere for the rest of their life can be a lot more aggressive in the market if they want to because they don't have to live on it. So you have to generalize to do a radio show, but you have to be very specific when you're actually advising a real honest-to-goodness person. So I don't know if that really covers what...
No, see, that's why I threw that question out for everybody for the Beach Boys to give an answer.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's...
And you did.
Yeah, that's what we do, you know.
One thing we try and never do is to put our clients in buckets or look at them as a, okay, this person is 60, and so therefore they need this plan. That's not how we operate.
Those are called cookie cutters, where we come from.
I don't know. If that was all you had, people would just do it on a computer, right?
That's exactly right. That only when you really get involved in the details of someone's life can you give what I consider the best objective advice possible. And that's where we are.
Well, gentlemen, y'all stay safe this evening and stay away from all those immature crowds out there.
Great. You want to throw out a number for the trivia question? What percentage of days in the market last year were positive for the Dow?
75.
A little too high, but now we've got a bracket reduced a little bit from 0 to 75. It's between
thank
there.
You, sir.
Well, we know it's not zero.
No,
market was
that's
up.
True. Thank you, Marshall. Thanks for everything. You know, Marshall's been on the show with us this year. He's been a friend. We know what he does. He's a reverse mortgage specialist and just a really good guy. We'll be hearing more from him. He's a good caller and a good guest and just a nice guy to know. So if anybody has any interest in reverse mortgages, let us know and we'll tell you how to get hold of him. So anyway, we're going to have to take another break, and then we're going to talk some more about other reasons that you're probably going to go broke in retirement, unless you get some good advice or inherit a lot of money, or there are reasons that could be improved for you. Don't count on those. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the final segment of the final show of the year 2016. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have Larry. Good morning and Happy New Year.
Good morning, gentlemen. Prosperous New Year to both of you.
Thank you, sir. Same to you.
Quick guess at the trivia.
Sure.
38%.
We have a bracket that's narrowing. That's low.
Good.
I would have come up with a number very much like that.
And I was close
Adam
to that.
Said 45 when he guessed. So I'll be really nice to people. He was too low also. So I'm going to narrow that bracket down, and maybe we'll get an answer for it. And if somebody gets it right, and I'll take it plus or minus one, if somebody gets it right or if nobody gets it right, what I'll do is I'll give you a little extra detail on that too, because it's interesting. My favorite trivia is the ones I don't know the answer to when I go hunting for them, and this was one of those.
You know it's a thrill of a hunt.
That's exactly right. I appreciate it. And thanks for all your...
Both of you, and can you get a broker's license online?
You can learn it online, but you got to... I don't know nowadays. There's so much testing online now. I wouldn't be shocked.
Actually, I think you have to go to a testing center.
You would know. Okay, well, I appreciate it.
I think you have to...
Off the air.
You, in order to get it, I go back about 15 years on when I got mine, and I've since given it up, but you had to have a sponsor, which meant it all had to be done in the confines of a very set system. So I suspect that's still true. It has to be a company that sponsors you to even take the thing. But okay, you can learn about it online.
Like an apprentice. Or
yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
Okay. Y'all have a good new year, and hang in there.
Thanks so much. We appreciate it.
A bit of wisdom, scared money. Makes no money.
That is so true.
That is brilliant. We may wind up quoting you on that.
Have a good year to both.
Thank you.
That actually sums up this year pretty perfectly.
Oh, doesn't it, though? And I'll tell you more about it as we get closer to the end of the show or if somebody gets a trivia right.
There was a lot of scary moments this year.
No.
Brexit.
Yes, there was.
January.
There's always things to fear. And I think that's one of the things you get with a lot of experience is that you understand that as soon as something horrible is gone, the next horrible event takes its place in the minds and the stories and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So if you understand that fear is always present. And in fact, we go looking for things to fear in the market. If you understand that, you'd be a lot more savvy and your results will show it. All right, 12 reasons. The first one, we talked a little bit about abandoning stocks. People get a little too conservative, but it works the other way too. One of the reasons you might not have any money in retirement is if you invest too much in stocks. And this is particularly true for the people who are stock pickers. If you're picking individual stocks, you have increased your risk by a large factor. The quickest way to go broke in the world is under-diversifying your portfolio. That's why exchange-traded funds and mutual funds are so popular. It gives you instant diversification. Another reason, you might live too long. And I've alluded to this a little bit earlier, too. It is no longer a predictable world where at 65 you're old and at 70 you're dead. In fact, I have more than one friend out there in the 80s. In fact, one of my friend's mother is, what, 103, I think, right now. We ran into her at Lulu's the other day. How incredible is that? She looks great. Absolutely fantastic. Now, if your money's going to last a long time, that's a good thing. If you're going to live a long time, you better be careful with your money. Number four, and this one, I would put this on the blatantly obvious list. You spend too much. And that, I've seen that too over the years in this business. I have seen a lot of people who were outspending reasonableness on their retirement accounts, and I've seen a lot of them where they took it right down to nothing. Despite warning after warning after warning, there's always that one more thing. Well, I need $5,000, I need $10,000. Not just a normal withdrawal for day-to-day living, but these lump sums, one-time events that happen over and over and over. You put a little different name on it. I need a car, I need a boat, whatever. Speaking of those things, if you're going to buy one, buy it today and get the deduction for the sales tax. You rely on a single source of income is number five, and that can be widely addressed as Social Security recipients. I'm going to retire on my Social Security. How many times have we heard that?
Do you know how little money that is? It is not a lot of money.
And in 2035, that not a lot of money might become not a lot by 23%. Less.
If the current projections hold, that is true.
If no changes are made. Now, there are two things we can do about that immediately, which I think we should do, actually. We can raise the retirement age again down the line. So people under 55 or under 50 or whatever number, you give them 20 years warning or whatever that they're going to have to wait a little bit longer to get to the full retirement age. The other one is put America back to work. And 3 weeks from today, I believe there will be an event in Washington, D.C. that starts to put America back to work. There is nothing better for a social system than having people paying into it.
Yeah, the third one is to increase legal immigration and get people that are qualified to come here and fill positions that Americans don't necessarily aren't. There's not enough of us to fill, and those people will actually add to the tax rolls and pay into the Social Security system and pay for the benefits that are going out right now.
That's absolutely true, and we need engineers and the likes in this country badly.
Absolutely. Nurses, engineers, there's so many
needs. The JOLTS number now for jobs that are open that are seem to be perpetually open?
Like millions.
Yes, millions of technical, high-paying. We complain all the time about we don't have enough high-paying jobs. Well, what we don't have is enough high-paying job candidates who are qualified. All the training programs in the world have not helped this.
Yeah, but growing what it comes down to is growing the number of people that are paying into the system. That's what has to happen.
And by the way, if you're relying on your lottery tickets for your retirement income, talk to me.
It's a bad idea. And we have legitimately met people who that is their retirement plan.
We absolutely have. Number six, you can't work. And this one is a shame. You can't always help whether or not you can work. There is illness. There are accidents. Some people are going to be subjected to this, which means start early in your saving. Only 6% of retirees report working in retirement as a source of their income. You believe that? 6%. I would swear it's a lot higher. Related to that is getting sick. You can get something through no fault of your own. You wind up with something, you know, Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or whatever, where you might live for a while, but you're not able to really do anything and you can't really help it. Well, I'm not in the business, Adam's not in the business of helping people who are sick. There are other people who do that, but we are trying to stick with the healthy and the ones who have saved, only because nobody has all the time and all the knowledge in the world. Number eight, you tap the wrong retirement accounts. This one is huge, as they say. What? Let's say you have a Roth and a regular of any sort, 401k, IRA, whatever. Which one should you draw against? Well, that comes under the heading that I have used for a long time called managing your income. Managing income means you're actually managing your taxes, trying to keep your income within limits whereby you're not paying too much, but nor are you failing to take advantage of the lower rates that we find up to about $74,000 for a married couple now. Managing income is something that you can learn and one of the things that we talk about with people in our office. Number nine, a big one, I mentioned it real early today, you don't consider taxes. When you're putting your budget together, remember that money you're living on in retirement is after you pay taxes. Now, unless you got everything in a Roth and it's coming in tax-free, you are going to have taxes to consider. The rates may actually go down next year, but that doesn't mean they're going low. Down is not like that. Number 10, I won't dwell on this one because I don't have to. It's don't bankroll the kids. We've seen a lot of that. Number 11, you are underinsured. Number 12, you get scammed. Okay, 54% of days in the market for the Dow were up last year. There's an old expression in our business that says all the money in the market is made in 7 trading days. And if you miss those, you don't make any money. So I went back and I found the 7 largest trading days in the Dow. And what happened if I took those out that was down 43 points? That 7 number is so predictable. Now, can you tell me what the 7 days in 2017 are going to be that are the best?
I wish.
I don't think so. See you next year, folks. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.